speak a little bit about what it is, and some of you might be familiar with it, very familiar, others of you may never have heard of it. And so partly to sort of orient anyone that might be interested or even just curious about what it is, about some of the details. And usually in the 8-week class, we do a free or do a initial orientation, which is part of the curriculum, I think, if you take it anywhere. So a lot of that information I'll be giving tonight. Even if you have no interest in taking the class, the intention also is just given the predominant place that this orientation has in our culture as far as what mindfulness is in kind of the Western world, my hope is that it would be interesting just kind of to orient you in that way also. And kind of given, depending on what sort of how we go time-wise, we'll have also a period of probably 10 minutes where we'll do one of the first practices that is done in the class. And then also have a little bit of discussion about kind of that we're here at a Buddhist center and about sort of what are some of the current concerns in kind of secular mindfulness as it's taught, secular mindfulness-based interventions. So that's the plan. If we do, just to say while I'm thinking of it, if we do, I think the talk is being recorded, so there will be a period of for questions or discussion, just you know that it will be potentially recorded and broadcast out into the interwebs. And maybe we could start asking by a show of hands how many of you are familiar with MBSR either. So I think the majority. Okay. So I've tried to kind of come up with sort of like a pithy definition of what MBSR is. So to kind of have like an elevator blurb if I'm talking to somebody about what it is. So what I wrote is that MBSR is an 8-week curriculum that offers a deep and rigorous exploration of the mind and body using mindfulness. It also deals with stress psychology and stress physiology, balancing daily formal and informal meditation practices, and hatha yoga. It also involves group process, neuroscience, and contributions from Western psychology. I'll talk a little bit about kind of what the class is and where it comes from and the context and the details of it. But I think it's worth saying sort of off the bat that I think the class, and I'm not saying this sort of to try to sell the class or to get you interested, but I think in my personal experience and in the experience of other Dharma practitioners that I know, that it can provide something complementary to what you get coming to Thursday night sittings or doing the intro to meditation class. And that there's some components of it that are not, you don't really get coming week to week. And I think one part of that is that there is this sort of group dynamic, group process component of it, so that there's this container community that you're sort of building rapport week to week. And so I know in the class that was taught, that I taught in the fall, some of the people in that class have I think in both instances, there's a real sort of little micro community that was formed, and those groups have gone on and stayed in contact in some cases. That's one thing. And another thing is that there is a strong focus on sort of informal practice day to day. I mean, there's a hefty dose of formal practice, but also an emphasis on sort of somatic awareness and the kind of experience in the body that you don't necessarily get from coming and just sort of sitting quietly for 40 minutes working with the breath. There's a number of other things also, but just to say that initially is I think there can be, the class is kind of branded in terms of stress reduction. I think that the desire initially was to make kind of put the core of Buddhist meditation practice in a form that would be available and accessible to a wide variety of people. And I think that it does that, but at the same time, I think that there can be a response that it's seen as something that's offered in medical contexts or hospitals that someone might say, oh, I'm not sick enough for that, or I'm not really that stressed out. I don't need stress reduction. But I think in some ways it's a little bit of an unfortunate, even the name in some way, I think doesn't really imply or doesn't do justice to kind of the power that is kind of the potential of the class that in some ways really offers a fairly radical opportunity for shifting the way we experience reality in ourselves and our lives. So oftentimes if we were doing the introductory session, we might start with 3 minutes of sitting just to get a little taste of the actual practice. And so we've just sat for about 40 minutes, so we wouldn't do that. But then oftentimes we'll start just talking about kind of what is mindfulness, right? So Jon Kabat-Zinn, his definition, which I think is a little bit clunky and awkward, but is the one that he uses, is paying attention in a particular way on purpose in the present moment and non-judgmentally. Okay. So it's this kind of innate inner quality. In the beginning of the talk mentioned that the Sanskrit word for mindfulness is smriti, which means to remember. So essentially we're remembering to be aware of the present moment's experience. So one of kind of the orienting ideas, or not an idea so much, but kind of one of the foundations of this approach is kind of the sense that how we experience suffering and stress in our lives has a lot to do with how we show up for those experiences. So how we perceive experiences of stress and of pain and suffering informs how those experiences live or how they're experienced in us. Some people will use kind of dukkha, stress as kind of synonyms. If we think of this quote from the Buddha of saying, I teach one thing, suffering, and the end of suffering, which whether or not that's one thing or two things is another question. But one of the things that is kind of interesting about MBSR is that it puts this idea, this concept of stress, kind of at the core of suffering, and goes in also to how stress impacts the body and our nervous system, our immune system. And so one of the other kind of foundational ideas has to do with stress reactivity, or reactivity versus stress response, right? So if we're unfamiliar with any kind of contemplative practices like this, we might be going along in our lives. There's some stimulus out in the world. We have an automatic response on autopilot, which possibly aggravates the stress. We may do or say something damaging, do something that gives us some short-term relief, but in the end possibly makes things worse for ourselves and other people. So in these practices, there's something about learning to turn towards the difficulties in our lives, which is sort of a counter-instinctual practice. And so on this, there's this quote that has been attributed to Viktor Frankl, who I'm not sure if it's actually from him, but who was a, I think he was a psychiatrist who was a Jew, European Jew during World War II, who was a prisoner in Buchenwald or one of the camps. And he has a quote that says, "Between stimulus and response, there's a space, and in that space lies our freedom." So that idea that we can start to choose how we react to the circumstances in our lives, and in doing that, we can essentially to sort of change the way that we experience the stress and the suffering in our lives. So MBSR stands for Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction. So to go into the history of it a little bit, which some of you probably know, so there was this guy named Jon Kabat-Zinn, who he was a scientist. He has a PhD, I think, in molecular biology. And through a series of sort of fortuitous circumstances, was led into the practice of Buddhism, and he got really into it. And I've heard him tell the story. He had this kind of vision while sitting on retreat at IMS in Massachusetts. I think his teacher was Sharon Salzberg, and it was this vision of like 10 seconds that he saw this sort of this way that he could bring these practices into hospitals and into domains of suffering in the Western world that could really benefit from these contemplative practices. So this he kind of designed this class. He started it in 1979. So I'm almost 41. So that was I was 1 year old then when that started. But the idea, he said, was to serve the patients that were falling through the cracks of the medical system. And he talks about it now as that these cracks now have turned into chasms. But that he talks about how that the stress reduction clinic was in the basement of the hospital where the, I guess it was a UMass hospital. And that they would send them the patients that the doctors had kind of given up on and nothing was working and they couldn't do anything else for. So they would send them down to John in the basement. And then this program grew and they've had, I think, 25 or 30,000 people that have gone through the program just there at UMass, and that it's a program that is offered all over the world. So when I did the teacher training a few years ago, or part of it, there were people from all over Europe and Latin America and China and just all over the place. And I think in some ways that as a scientist, Jon Kabat-Zinn had some sense that if this was going to kind of take hold and succeed, that there would have to be they'd have to be able to show the efficacy of it. So there's been all kinds of research and studies, and I think of all of the different mindfulness-based interventions, this is in some ways kind of what has been held up as sort of the gold standard that they've done the most research about. But I think in many ways, with the proliferation of mindfulness, and I'll talk a little bit more about that, it's really become sort of a subcategory in the field now after all these years. So to talk a little bit about what the class is about, what the curriculum is. So it's really, as I said, it's quite a rigorous protocol. So the class meets for 8 weeks. There's a class meeting once a week for 2.5 hours that are usually in the evenings or the mornings. This next, we are trying to alternate, and then it has a day-long, one-day retreat, an all-day class. And so students in the classes, it's kind of about half time doing the practices and half time doing other things, but that do a series of practices, listening to recordings at home for the most part, doing what's called a body scan, which is going through starting at the toes, moving up the body, putting your awareness in different parts of the body. And it's an interesting practice that interesting things, kind of people that have had no sense of even, I never knew I had a body before, to kind of getting familiar with the body in this way. To sitting meditation like we did, and yoga and mindful walking meditation. Those practices are kind of, that's the sort of lion's share of what is done in the class. And in my experience teaching the class and working with students, there's different degrees of, so I think the commitment is that you're doing it 6 days a week, you're spending about 60 minutes a day, maybe 40, 45 minutes with these recordings, and then a little extra doing informal or a little bit of sitting. And at UMass, they have, I think part of the reason why it's kind of these studies they do are so successful is that they have a really rigorous screening protocol, so they get people that are really committed and that stay on board to do it throughout. So oftentimes students will come and they'll say, okay, well, I did it 2 days this week or 3 days. And I think that can be beneficial, but I think the real sort of transformative potential is that if you can really go sort of whole hog and do the full commitment. Seen some of this. I'm not. This is a secular class, meaning that it's not. We don't talk about Dharma. We don't talk about Buddha. We don't talk about Dukkha. We don't talk about the Four Noble Truths, but many of these sort of foundational elements of Dharma are woven into the fabric of the class. So there's also didactic components of it, talking about the nervous system and stress physiology and trauma response and things like that. So that's a component of it. There's sort of an experiential education component. And then there's this kind of group process component also. So more and more I'm finding that I think something interesting things happen in groups, and kind of this opportunity for having this kind of holding environment, crucible, where different things emerge than emerge when you're working by yourself or one-on-one. And that I think in many ways that's a really rich part of what the class is. So each week has a different topic. Some of the topics, perception, pleasant and unpleasant events. So the homework assignment for 1 week is to go through and keep a calendar of what are the pleasant events you experience, and then the next week is unpleasant events. Other weeks are stress reactivity versus stress response, and communicate. There's a week on communication, so looking at sort of bringing mindful awareness to difficult communications in your lives. In the regular introductory session, we talk about potential risks and benefits of the class. So I'm gonna skip over the benefits. The risks. One is that we say that it can be stressful to take the stress reduction class. And I think in some ways, just carving out that time in your life can create stress. It can create stress in your life and the lives of your family members. There can be sort of a minor risk of, the yoga is probably the most dangerous thing. It's fairly gentle. But I did break my foot taking the MBSR class, and that this was in a big class, sitting in the latter part where there's discussion, and we were just sitting for a while, and I was sitting with my legs crossed for a long time, not being very mindful of what was going on in my body. So the class ended, I got up and my foot was asleep. And I took a step and rolled my ankle and fell over and thought I was fine, but then it was swollen the next day. So my teacher at the time, Bob Stahl, who's in the Bay Area, said that in all of his decades of teaching and teaching MBSR teachers, he said nothing like this has ever happened. So so the risks are minor. And I think because that happened to me, nothing like that will happen to anyone else. I think also there can be a sense of, there's this anecdote of some of the early teachers sitting retreats at IMS and somebody writing on one of the chalkboards in the back of a classroom, something like, self-awareness is always bad news. And so that can be one of the other risks, that as you sort of learn to strengthen your capacity at being present with the things that previously you suppressed or ignored or numbed out, that you might feel more sadness or anger or fear as you start to be able to pay attention in a conscious way, that it can kind of highlight some of these things that previously you haven't really had a conscious relationship with. But that's usually that's good when that starts to happen. So maybe kind of the last thing, and then we'll do a little meditation practice. I mean, there's a lot of other things that I could say. Some people get really interested in kind of the different academic scientific studies that have been done, and there's been a lot showing a lot of different kinds of positive results. But the thing that I like to say is that much more interesting than any of those studies is that doing the class provides students an opportunity to do their own study in the laboratory of your own life, your own experience. And that really that's what is on offer, that the opportunity to kind of, in the laboratory of your own life, to kind of check it out and see what it's about. Okay, so maybe I'll ask now, and so that's kind of the first part of the talk, and then we're gonna do a little practice, and then there's kind of a second part, and we'll probably generate some discussion, but maybe I'll ask first, just kind of on the logistical end of the class, if there's any comments or questions.
When does the class begin, and when will it be? Do you know?
Yeah, so, and I think there were supposed to be flyers. I don't know if they're, no. But the class starts, so the intro, which I'm not, so it starts not next week, not the following week, but the week after that. And it's on Wednesday mornings from 9:30 to noon.
But the intro is the 7th, isn't it?
Right, so the intro is next Wednesday, right? And the intro will be some of similar information to what you're hearing tonight. And I'm happy also, if anyone is interested and not sure if it's a good fit, to talk to you. And there's a fee. It's not inexpensive to take the class, and it's kind of the standard fee that if you take it at Sutter or I think kind of throughout anywhere, I think it's the fee is the same. And there are options if somebody wants to take the class but can't pay the full fee, or so get in contact if that's the case. But I think also something about paying the fee, you get a different kind of commitment to doing the practices and showing up, and I think in some ways it's not an unimportant part of it.
The introduction is free.
Any other questions?
I do have a question. I have a friend I've been trying to talk into taking the course. Mm-hmm. 2.5 hours is intimidating to her.
Uh-huh.
Because for her, it's pain. It's a pain issue.
Right.
And so, anyway, can you speak to that?
Yeah, I mean, my experience is that the class goes by pretty quickly, and it's usually about the usually the first, it's the first period of the class that we're doing practice. And so we'll be doing body scan or sitting or something. And then more of the second half is we're sitting and talking. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of research, and people with chronic pain conditions, it's been shown to be helpful with. That said, we had a student last time around that had a lot of pain and just found it to turn the attention towards the body and towards the pain was too much, and it didn't work for him. It didn't work for him to stay in the class. So I think that it's not a panacea by any means, but I think also.